Mr. David Butler, Real 18. Now, we're talking about this job where you were visiting the Sea Cadets and CCFs right up to the north of the country to get them to come down to visit the naval base. No,
I wasn't. I was arranging visits for them if they applied. If they wanted to come down to a naval base, they wrote to us. And we had the headquarters of this constabulary, as you might want to call it, or this unit, was in Portsmouth, and it was run by a lieutenant commander. And it was decided that they would branch out over to the NOR command. Whether they had one in Devonport or not, I couldn't tell you. And so there wasn't many facilities in Chatham, to be honest. And so we had to have these things, this thing had to be organised, and I had to read these papers, and letters from different schools and whatever, or used to come from Portsmouth sometimes. Sometimes, because the schools, the education authorities had been told about it, I used to get them direct from, eventually, after about 2 months, direct from the schools requesting visits. And what we used to do was that if it was a school, they used to come on a coach, and I used to have to write out a little program for it. It was mainly a basic program, but the first thing I had to do was ensure that they had a meal. That was the first thing that had to be done, that they was coming for the day, and they would be dining in the dining room getting some taste of naval cooking. And they always, and I through the commander, it did arrange that I would have a set of tables stuck in the corner, and they would go then through the routine. And then I'd show them a film about the Navy. Then we used to take them down and show them the swimming baths. And then my leading hand used to drill the four ratings that he had with him on the parade ground for about 10 minutes. And then we used to take them into the dockyard. And they used to have a look at the ships and different... the ropery was one. Ropes were made. But when you think about it, there's not a lot they could do, because they'd get down there about 10, perhaps 11 o'clock. It's all where they travel from. And then they'd be leaving at 4 o'clock at night. So it was pretty difficult. But we did manage to get a nice little routine going, and with the cooperation of all the different people in charge of these different places, it was as good as gold. And then we used to get Sea Cadets come down, with the Sea Cadets. Sometimes they'd come down for 2 or 3 days. They'd come down for a week sometimes. That was a little bit harder. But it was basically the same thing for the schools, but they used to have... We used to then give them into the PTI so that they could have swimming lessons or do swimming drills, which are required in the Navy, and jumping in and out of life rafts and what have you, in the swimming baths for half a day. Then they was always on the parade ground, the leading hand or one of the other lads I had working for me. They used to take them on the parade ground for training. And then they'd go around, I'd make an arrangement for them to go on a ship if there was one in the yard, to have a look, spend a day on the ship and have a good look around and work with the sailors and that. And if there wasn't one in, I used to have to talk to the army. And I would get a lorry and to take them up to the army in Surrey, a place in Surrey. I can't remember the camp now. Tidworth? Somewhere like that's Hampshire. A place in Surrey, anyway. And they'd keep them up there for 2 days. And it was all good experience for them. And they all used to love it very much. Occasionally, you'd have the day visit, and it was virtually the same as the school children. A mundane sort of visit down the swimming pool, a little bit on the parade ground and what have you, and that. But I think the first school I ever had, as definitely it may seem, was from Coventry. And then I had a chief petty officer join after about 6 months from the careers service. And he virtually took over the job then, because he knew exactly what it was required, and he was able to put a little bit more into it.
So what did you do then?
And then I think it was virtually the same, but he was able to get them to, he could get, he could give them a talk.
And well, that, and well, he, what would you do then? Do you see what I mean?
Well, I would still run the programs with him. You see, if the coach went down to the yard, see, one of us would go down with it. It's all according to what was on. And he was on holiday one day, and I did have a call from a headmaster. And at the time, I didn't realise what it all meant. I had a call from a headmaster in Bristol via the commander. The commander said, "Oh, would I phone?" The commander gave me this phone number and told me to phone up Bristol. So I said, "Righto." So I phoned up this teacher in Bristol, this headmaster, and he said, "I've been let down." He said, "My lads are supposed to go to Portsmouth for a week, 5 days." No, a week, tell a lie, Sunday to Friday. He said, "But I've been let down. Can you accommodate me?" And I said, "Yes, sir, we can." And I said, "Have you ever been to this part of the country before?" And he said, "No." I said, "Right. How are you going to arrive?" He said, "Well, we was going to arrive in Portsmouth by train." And I said, "Okay, let's start." I said, "Now," and so it went. I found out when they was coming and when they was leaving and one thing or another. And I said, "Right, who's coming with you?" And he just said, "One lieutenant commander, RNVR. I said, "Well, what about crossing London?" "Well, we've never really crossed London before," he says, "as a group." I said, "Right, would you like me to get my leading hand to come up to London and meet you off the all train at Paddington and bring you across to whatever station it was at the time, I can't remember.
Waterloo
for Chatham. Right,
London Bridge.
Yeah, Waterloo, I think it was Waterloo. And he said, "Would you?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "I'll get that organised for you, and he will meet, you let me know the times of trains." He told me the times of trains, that was all worked out and everything. Anyway, I went and got the warrant for my leading hand and sent him up to London in uniform. And he brought them back, and I met them on the Monday, and we had on Sunday. I was in there in the barracks for when they came in Sunday night and made sure they'd got the bed in and the mess was all ready for them. And I said, "Your first in the morning, this is your programme." I typed the programme up. I'd worked over the weekend doing it. And we got the programme. The first morning was after breakfast, 9 o'clock on the playground for an hour's drill. And I thought that'll give me a chance to talk to the lieutenant commander and one thing and another. Anyway, so we got a programme, and I got him a chance to look around a nuclear submarine that was in dry dock. I'd managed to get that for him, and this was not a secret. This was the combined cadet force from a school in Bristol, a private school in Bristol, and I got them 3 days up in Surrey with the army, and two of my lads went up with them as well, and then when they came back, they thoroughly enjoyed it, and on the Monday after they'd gone back, they had a real good time at the drill, swimming pool with life raft instructions and dockyard visits and with the army and one thing another and whatever. And the lieutenant commander was billeted in the wardroom. And on the Monday, I got a call from Portsmouth asking me had I taken this school? And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Will you send this lieutenant commander?" I said, "I want you to send me a copy of the program that you gave them. And I want to know everything that happened and a full report on their thing." And I thought, this is a bit funny, you know. And I thought, "Righto, sir, yeah, okay." And then the next thing I know is that the commander sends for me of the barracks, and he said, "I've had a telephone call from the headmaster at such and such a school." He said, and he was most impressed. He said, "And they've had a thoroughly good week, and they want more visits." I said, "Righto, sir, I'll tell Chief Petty Officer Coles." He was the careers bloke. I said, I'll tell Chief Petty Officer Coles when he comes back on leave. And I said, "Portsmouth want to report on the thing and a copy of the programme." "Portsmouth will have nothing," he said. Don't send anything to Portsmouth. Let them stew in their own misery. He said, because the man they thought they were dealing with was just an headmaster. But he's the senior combined cadet force officer in England, and he's got big contacts in Admiralty, and apparently it all went up to Admiralty, and it bounced back from there apparently, but it hit Portsmouth, not us, and we got a good report out of it. And other than that was just basically what we'd done, was organise visits for school children, sea cadets and combined cadets.
Now, how long were you there? November 71
April 73.
So quite a long time.
Yeah, 2 years.
And then, where then?
And then I went to HMS Charybdis.
How do you spell that?
CHARYBDIS.
Now, where is that, a shore station?
That is a frigate. It's a type Ross E class frigate, very similar to what HMS Arethusa was.
When did you join her then?
I joined her in March 73.
March? Oh, I thought you left it. Oh, right.
No, it's April. So it's the way that it's the writing on the wall. It's April 73. And I left it in November 74.
Now,
bonfire night.
What was your job?
On there, I was a petty officer in charge of the boiler rooms and outside machinery.
And what side machinery?
Outside machinery, like diesels, air conditioning, and things like that.
So you've, in a sense, gone away from the writer thing now?
Yeah, I've finished with the writing world now. I finished completely with the writing world now while I was on this ship. And
did you like getting back to the boilers?
I did, yeah. I used to love working down there. I was more of a boiler man than any other machinery in the engine room branch. You'd grow up with it, as you see. That's the main thing. You grow up to work in one department and you learn to... Other blokes, you see, they might have gone air conditioning and diesels. But I really did love the boilers, and then I was on there a year, and
now
I got.
Now, what you remember? How did you fit in on board the ship?
Smashing. The first job I got was president of the petty officers mess.
And what did that involve?
That was running the mess just like you would a mess deck, but obviously with senior rates you wouldn't have some of the idiots that you had down in the mess deck. But on the whole, it was good. If there was a dispute, which was occasionally, you had to smooth it over or sort it out, and you made sure that the bar was run properly. In actual fact, I took on that job when I became president of the mess. They couldn't get on. One bloke couldn't get on with the bookwork and that. So I said, "Well, I'll do it for you." And I asked, we had a PO writer in the mess, and I asked him if he'd do it, and he said, no, I can't do it because of my job, because he was handling ship's company money as well, you see. And so I became the bar president as well. And it was, we went up fishery protection again. We had another little session up in Iceland, fishery protection.
Remember anything about it?
No, not really. It was just the same as when I was on the Zest and the same sort of thing up there. And then I was made acting local chief stoker on there. The chief stoker was taken ill, so I then took over the chief stoker's job. And I enjoyed that, and I still stayed in the petty office.
What was your job as acting chief stoker?
Well, you're in charge of all the engineering branch. Working out the watch bill, which is where the people work and where they work on ships when you're at sea, in the engine room and the boiler rooms, and keeping whichever the watch they're in, transferring fuel in ship, water in ship, and transferring water or fuel from one tank or another to keep it stabilised. And you had to, I mean, at all times, your ship had to be level, even. And you had the thing, and at sea you'd organise your crew on the upper deck with a petty officer, and then in charge, and who was it? Then you'd be down the boiler room, because that on this ship they'd got a new system going that the water came through, or the fuel came through, and it came into a massive drum, and it held 50 tons of fuel, this drum did, and then you fed it to the different tanks, and you had handles, you had 8 pipes leading from it, and you regulated it, and you had a gauge on it, and you regulated the flow of oil from this tank into the different tanks throughout the ship. And obviously you always finished with, if possible, a tank full sitting on top of the boiler rooms, because that was extra fuel for you.
So anything about your time on her? You weren't on her that long, were you, in a bit?
Not really. It was just a sort of job. I did have an argument with the engineer when I first got on there, because he's...
the engineer officer.
The engineer officer, Peter Fake, his name was. When I went up to the cabin, he said... When I joined the ship, and the next morning I went up to his cabin, and he said, "Oh, come in, David." I said, "I beg your pardon, sir." He said, "Come in, David." I said, "No, sir. Come in, Petty Officer," or Petty Officer Butler. Said, "You're an engineer." He said, "I'm Peter." I said, "No, you're Lieutenant Frake." He said, "I'm a Petty Officer." I said, "I don't believe in first names between senior rates and officers." I said, "There was a chain of command." I said, "You don't call the captain Fred or George when he's on the bridge. He's Sir." I said, "And you do that in the wardroom." I said, if it's a social evening, then it's a different kettle of fish. But when we're on duty and things like, I do not believe in first name." "Very well," he said. When I found out, all the other senior rates, he was always on first name terms with. But that wasn't I couldn't act that. That was someone I couldn't act with.
Did you get on all right with him other than that?
Other than that, yes, I got on very well with him. And when I left, I did say to him, "Well, Peter, I've enjoyed my time on here." And he said, "Well, thank you very much, David." I granted him that, because I was nearly a civvy then.
What's happening? You're leaving in November 1974. Is this your last posting?
This is my last posting, as such.
Did you know you were leaving?
Yes, yeah. It was my time expired, virtually. It was four months to when I was going out.
So what was happening in that 4 months?
Well, I then got drafted to HMS Sultan. Now, this is a winding down period, as you might say.
This is the HMS Sultan again?
The engineering school, yeah. And I joined it. And now I'd made arrangements that I'd got to have a month's leave. Now, when you sign on to do your pension, you're given a month's leave to have as and when you want, subject to ship's movements. So I thought, well, I'll save mine for when I go out. But also at the same time, I'd made arrangements to go on a EVT course, Educational Training Vocation course. And in the brewery trade, and so I went up to Buxton in Derbyshire to a brewery training course.
Now, was that your chosen career?
That was one of the things I was really thinking about in the pub trade. We'd moved to Coventry just after I'd come back from Bahrain as a family, and when we was up there. Chrysler was up there, and they was building cars and that. And they, one of my neighbours who we was friends with, was on a 3-day week, and so were a lot of other people in the 70s, in the early 70s, and they was being laid off, and one thing. And I said to this chap, "What on earth are you being laid off for?" He said, "There was a dispute. They moved somebody into our department that we didn't require. He was surplus to what we wanted." Or was it a she? They were surplus to what we required. So we've gone on strike. And so they spent 4 months, I think it was, on strike. And they went back.
Hang on, you're losing me a bit here. What's this got?
This is what leads me into I wanted to go into the look at the brewery trade as a vocation when I left the Navy, you see, after having discussed it with my wife, you see. And one of the things
you didn't
that he
like
said,
look at the strikes in engineering.
I didn't like the strikes in anything, because it was all mundane stuff and I wasn't used to this sort of thing, you know. And they went back for a penny after 4 months off. And, you know, and I thought, oh, I don't want this. And so the wife and I talked it over, and I went on this course, and it was a fortnight up at Buxton, in learning the job in the brewery trade. And then I'd done a cookery course for a fortnight after that, and that was my one month's vocation. That was in Sultan, that was in HMS Sultan, that was. And whilst the day I joined, as a matter of fact, I've digressed a little bit, but the day I joined, one of the officers said to me, "Ah, Mr. Butler," he said, "we've been waiting for you." And I said, "Why?" He said, "We've got a course." He said, "You're going to be instructed in boiler maintenance and lagging." I said, "I beg your pardon." He said, "In boiler?" I said, "I'm not, sir." He said, "Why?" I said, "Well, I'm going on a month's leave, and I'm also doing an EVT course." And that, he didn't like that one little bit. It was most because then he'd got to hunt around for another chief petty officer to do this, to do the instructing.
So when did you leave the Navy?
And then I left the Navy in the 25th of February, 1975.
And how did you feel about leaving it?
I wasn't too rushed, too fussed, actually.
Why not?
Because I felt that I can see it now, and I could see it then. It was, they was lowering the standards of education and the people that was coming in. It might be a bit different now, because I think with the computers and what have you, it's probably they probably require a more intelligent person. But they was losing lads that, well, not losing lads, lads were joining that I didn't think were up to the job. And I didn't like the way that personal name calling was taking shape within the thing.
Now, what were you going to do then? You thought of brewing. You'd obviously done a cookery course, so that goes with the brewing. You know, what were you going to do? What job were you going to get? Because you were still not. You were still.
I still wasn't sure. But anyway, when I went home, the wife and I sat down and talked, and we scanned the papers for a job. I knew I'd got some time off, you see. In actual fact, I had me time off, and when whilst I was at Sultan, I had to transfer across to the RNB, the Royal Naval Barracks in Portsmouth, just for a short period, actually, a very short period, for a month, 23rd of January, I went across there for release. This is a relief thing, and the RPO, the regulating petty officer, said to me, he said, "If you can get done by midday, chief, your joining routine done by midday," he said, "I don't want to see you here until the 25th of February."
Now, so what were you going to do?
And so we had a look at the jobs and that, and then we said, right, we can work. Let's take a pub on. Let's try giving the pub a work, and. So we did. We looked out. We went for an interview with Ansells, the Midlands company, based in Leicester. Their office in Leicester, and we went to Leicester for an interview. And the first thing they said afterwards was, "When can you start?"
This is a pub landlord.
This is as a pub landlord, a manager, and. I, without thinking, said, "Oh, we can start Monday." And, oh, great. And my wife was most miffed because we hadn't had a holiday. And I hadn't given that a thought. It was very remiss of me, really. So they made arrangements that we could train at a pub in just outside Coventry.
Now, was that your... We don't do your civilian career. Just get you back into civilian. Yeah. Was that your career? I mean, were you a pub manager for long?
Yes, I was. 4 years. I'd done manager for 4 years in three different pubs. And then our eldest son got killed in a hit and run whilst we was in Leicester. So we came back to a pub just outside Rugby, and we was there for 4 years, and then we came, we took over a pub as tenants in Leamington.
So when did you finish in the pub trade?
1982, because they put the rent up from £41 a week to 107.
Now, can I just tell you, how did you acclimatise to civility? We've only got very short time left, yeah. I'm afraid, because they don't want another one on.
No.
Well, how did you acclimatise to civilian lifestyle?
No problems whatsoever. I was, because I'd had shore jobs, being as a writer, some of these staff jobs that I had, I think that helped me live ashore a lot longer. But I also think that being in the pub trade helped. I wasn't in a mundane job. You're always meeting somebody, new faces, and you're always trying to stop them that's trying to cheat you and things like that. And
you didn't mind, you know, the familiarity. I mean, you'd worried about it in the Navy, but you didn't
I didn't, because that's your life, you see. That's, I mean, even when I left the pub trade and took on other jobs, I became familiar with the people that who run the job.
Now, what do you think the Navy had done for you? What was it good, your service in the Navy, was it good for you, bad for you? What had it given you?
I think it was good for me. It gave me a chance to see the world. It gave me a chance to meet different races of life, live with different races. I mean, that you, as I say now, you read a lot about this trouble with Muslims and that. I never had anything in Malaya, in the Middle East, any colour, Chinese, black, white, yellow, anything. I never had any trouble talking to them or being with them or working with them. No trouble at all. I think it's all down to you as an individual.
So you thoroughly enjoyed your naval service?
Oh, I did, yeah. I enjoyed it more because I became an engineer's office writer, a marine engineer's officer. It gave me a different outlook on life. And it gave me a very select part, very select ships, as you might say. I might well have finished up on an aircraft carrier or something like that I wouldn't have liked. I liked the small ships or the shore bases.
And did you ever regret it at all, having joined?
No.
Thank you very much.